you're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Was Here Before You Die. This episode, we'll be talking about A Tribe Called Quest, People's Instinctive Travels, and the Paths of Rhythm. In the room, I have Rob.
It's a me.
And John.
It's Tribe, y'all.
And on the line, I have Ben.
The boom bip. The boom bip.
People's Instinctive Travels and the Paths of Rhythm is the debut studio album by the American hip-hop group A Tribe Called Quest, released on April 10th, 1990 on Jive Records. The producer was A Tribe Called Quest, and the genre is alternative hip-hop, East Coast hip-hop, progressive rap, and jazz rap. I'm going to read from the book, Theonis Bates. A potent blend of Afrocentric raps and unpredictable samples. People's Instinctive Travels establish A Tribe Called Quest as hip-hop's funkiest philosophers. Q-Tip and Fife Dog rhymed on subject that had never registered on rap's agenda. They delivered a health sermon on pubic enemy, encouraged voting on youthful expression, and even recommended healthy eating on ham and eggs. Although People's Instinctive Travels is heavy on message tracks, it never once sounds like a lecture. Fife and Q-Tip's lyrics are always humorous, and DJ Ali Sheed Muhammad's beat-centered mixes ensure that even the most insightful tracks can double as ass-shaking anthems. Can I Kick It transforms Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side into a pure blast of hip-hop sunshine, while I Left My Wallet in El Segundo, a National Lampoon-style holiday adventure, joins the dots between mariachi guitar and rolling jazz drums. With similarly quirky albums by De La Soul and the Jungle Brothers, People's Instinctive Travels marked the birth of alt-rap scene. It inspired left-field acts like Company Flow and Jurassic 5 and crossover stars the Fugees to look beyond predictable James Brown samples and macho posturing. Oddly, for such a fresh and creative album, the reaction from record buyers and critic was subdued. The album only just scraped into the Billboard chart, and Rolling Stone labeled it as one of the least danceable rap albums ever. All right, what do we think of A Tribe Called Quest, People's Instinctive Travels, and the Paths of Rhythm?
It's fucking rad.
Yeah, this is
right out
shit.
The gate with great work. I'm so into this.
So good. I had never listened to the entire album. I'd heard, obviously,
Benita Applebaum.
Yeah, Benita Applebaum. Can I Kick It?
Can I kick it?
Some of the others, but man, Q-Tip's production, spare. It's got the jazz thing. It's humorous. It's got everything.
Yeah, liner notes credit production to Tribe Called Quest, but if we're being honest here, Q-Tip's definitely doing the lion's share of production on this.
Yeah, this album is predominantly Q-Tip. I mean, you've got Ali Shaheed Muhammad, laying down the tracks, but Fife isn't really rhyming on that many things on this album. Jerobe White is barely there. Yeah, this is Q's baby, and it's a
Fife regretted that. Regretted that retrospectively. Is that at the time, they were hanging out. They were like holed up in the studio, and he would rather be out hanging. He's young.
These kids are 18, 19, 20.
So young.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah, and then the album comes out and he listens to it and he's like, oh man, I probably should have been around for more of that, huh?
Hey, when would it be recording that low end theory?
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, a lot of the sound is the tracks, not to say that the rhymes that they're putting on top aren't also critically important, but that sound alone establishes where the album is going to go. You've got Ali Shaheed Muhammad doing the scratching and the live instruments and the programming. Q-Tip is picking all these samples.
These samples are,
samples you've not heard really much in hip hop before. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting a lot of basically jazz and sort of some that you would say, you know, would be like a neo soul or sort of the father of neo soul samples and lays that all down for all this possible alternative rap, consciousness rap, whatever you want to call it, that comes out.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool doing research this week. I learned what pause tape mixing was or pause tape creation. And apparently Q-Tip is the master of pause taping, which is where you essentially just have a cassette deck and you play one cassette and then you record on another cassette and then you pause the second cassette and you rewind the first cassette and then you just keep it looping on the beat with a cassette deck. It like that just blew my mind that he was doing that, and that's how he created a lot of his mixes.
Yeah, super super lo-fi, but you know, well executed.
You gotta work with what you got.
Yeah, man. If you've got one of those, you know, early 90s Iowa dual tape decks, you know?
he was doing that like in high school where he was doing most of his crate digging and prep for this album, and he had already kind of like thought through and found a lot of like the beats and samples that he wanted going into this, using it, like creating them with pause tapes. But I could be wrong here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think usually on their debut album for Jive, I think they're using actual sampling gear as opposed to a tape deck. Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay. He learned a lot. He was
recreating his demos.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When he was working on the Straight Out the Jungle 1988 with the Jungle Brothers, I guess, you know, and he was also there for De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising 1989. So he had been to these sessions, and I guess recording engineer Shane Faber taught him how to use equipment, EMU SP1200 and the Kai S950, which are samplers, you know, and he
continue to talk about for the rest of our fucking lives.
So he basically like was teaching himself how to use the new equipment in the studio, and he, you know, any piece of equipment I guess he could get his hands on, it was like magic. Just knew how to work it.
Yeah, and you were saying, Birch, about those groups like De La and the Jungle Brothers. That's all part of the Native Tongues Collective. So I mean, sort of that whole.
Was Black Sheep in the Native Tongues Collective?
Black Sheep is Native Tongues adjacent. No, but you're not wrong.
Is Queen Latifah Black Sheep?
Queen Latifah is solidly Native Tongues Collective. I mean, all that sort of like Queens, New York, you know, but you've got like your solid, you know, members, the JB Jungle Brothers, JBs, De La Soul, Queen Latifah, Moni Love, and then you've got your adjacents like Fushnikins, which later at one point in time had Shaquille O'Neal as a member.
Are you talking about Shaq Diesel?
Yes, Shaq Diesel. You know, he can rhyme. You know, he can ball, he can rhyme. He's multi-talented. Better than Allen Iverson's album, I think. But anyway, we won't go there. But Black Sheep were not solidly considered part of collective Native Tongues Collective. So that whole group, you know, if they had to sort of have a theme or a unifying bond, it is kind of that moving away from having to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rapping about how tough you are or like how much you've got. It's about sort of the world around you, seeing things that are happening. And then there's, you know, definitely Afrocentrism, sort of a carry forward of Zulu Nation a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost explicitly a carry forward from Zulu Nation.
Yeah, I have
a
quote from the philosophy of the Native Tongues revolved around embracing Afrocentrism, open-minded lyricism, and spreading it amongst the hip-hop community and beyond. Mellow rhymes focused on intelligent message tracks, rarely sounding over-serious, instead just kicking it, having fun, and being good to each other.
Yeah, this album specifically is the kicking it and feeling good and having fun. They're not getting too deep on the, like, you know, they've got their track on eating vegetarianism or Ital food is always referenced. And it's kind of weird how it comes about in these like these chunks. So mid 90s, like Ital food is back, you know, like,
yeah.
But food is politics. And, you know, it drives sort of, OK, what is our community eating? Where are we getting it from? Why are we eating it? You know, what's it doing to our bodies? So but by the same token, the way the track comes off is just humorous.
Yeah.
You know, it's just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, mm-hmm. Pubic Enemy.
Like, that's very funny. You know, very funny.
Yeah. Nothing too serious here.
Yeah, I love it. Bonita Apple Bloom. Said you gotta put me on, Bonita Apple Bloom. Gotta put me on, Bonita Apple Bloom. I said you gotta put me on, Bonita Apple Bloom. You gotta put me on, Bonita, Bonita, Bonita. Hey, Bonita, glad to meet you. For the kind of stunning you miss, I must beseech you.
Can I say, as strong of a drum loop as it is nice to get away from the funky drummer for an album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just feels like every 1987 to 1990 hip hop album we've covered, there's a handful of funky drummers in it, normally on the hits, and it's such a strong loop. There's a reason everyone's using it, but I don't think there's one funky drummer on this album, and for 1990, that's notable.
Yeah, I was gonna mention. I mean, as soon as I love jazz, so as soon as all the jazz comes in, I'm like, ah. So good. Don't get me wrong, I love, Bomb Squad production, but at the same time, I mean, this just strikes a different chord, right?
Yeah,
it's a completely different
jazz chord,
feel.
If you will.
Yeah, and I just cannot understand at the time when people are, being like, oh yeah, rap, whatever, people are very dismissive, right? Like, even at this stage, even though it's been around for
Yeah, I think one review is something like, this is not rap, this is near perfect.
Yeah.
To say that those two can't be synonymous, and it's a difference in appreciation of the community. You've got the Source giving this five mics, the first time they've ever given five mics to an album. And then Billboard gave it 96th on the charts or something. It didn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just America's Most Wanted got they were the second album to get five mics 1 month later. But this is the first.
Yeah. Just everything. It just shows the dynamic of what people were doing even this early in the game.
Yeah, this is the building block.
They're breaking beats wherever they want. So there will be the sample for the verse, and then the sample for the break. It'll often be just a different section of that same song. They're pulling from the same source material, and it'll just be a guitar hitting a single jazz chord from that song over a beat, and it's just cool. They're pulling breakbeats just out of areas where other people would say there's not a breakbeat, there's not a possibility for a breakbeat here.
And
Tribe's well, there is though, watch.
Absolutely. It's very carefully constructed. That's what I was noticing too. Whereas the Sampledelia stuff is just kind of it's not shoehorned in, but it playfully put in there as little asides during a song.
Mm-hmm.
This one is firmly constructed.
Right. It's the sample as instrument.
Yeah. And it doesn't divert too much. I mean, it's such strong samples that they keep it simple.
Right. I mean, and that's a critical part of the analysis too, where you talk about things like when you've got Can I Kick It, right? You've got Walk on the Wild Side across the whole back of it, right? And, it lays down the melody and it lays down the track, but they didn't pick it because they're like, oh, we want people who have heard and liked Walk on the Wild Side to like this track,
Yeah.
They did it because it met with their sonic requirements,
Right.
But nonetheless, when you use that much of a track, you don't get any money from it.
Yeah.
So it was all to Lou Reed.
Yeah. Sweet bass,
Lou had
though.
It coming.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any love lost there. I think they were it wasn't a fight. They volunteered it up, Yeah. But by the same token, it's, what does it mean to sample somebody else's work? You know?
Totally.
And, this wasn't, it wasn't exactly like you said, it's not shoehorned. It's not to take it to say, hey, look at Lou Reed. And then, oh, all of a sudden I was looking at Lou Reed and now here's Tribe. No, you were looking at Tribe.
Yeah.
You were listening to Tribe and all of a sudden Lou Reed showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I did really like the flow of everything too. I mean, we talked about De La Soul. I mean, it must just be all native tongues, how they had a very relaxed flow. I was commenting about it on Jungle Brothers too. where it's like, it's almost, I don't want to say bored, but they just speak it, you know, it doesn't come off like Mama Said Knock You Out, like LL Cool J or Chuck D's like rowdy rhymes. It comes off as, you know,
smooth, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking smooth.
Yeah. I mean, and just
coming through.
And with the intros and outros, you know, with Ali Shaheed Muhammad on the mic or whomever else, you know, I think it was, what is it? DJ Red Alert, I think, is on one of these. And it's just, you know, they're just vibing. Like, that's the whole, like, the feel they're trying to put to the album is just, we're just here vibing on this. And then here comes another track. It's not like you said, where they're prepped up to beast on a particular track and come out swinging.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely got into it when they were talking about, this is my tribe, and they like bring everybody in, you know, they're talking to everybody and then everybody's clapping along being like, yeah, keep going.
Right.
Keep going.
Little call and response.
Yeah. Just felt like in the basement with them, right? Where they're just all having a good time and just feel like, yeah, keep the beat going.
Well, I think they were recording this in the studios where, you know, down the hall, Queen Latifah is recording and, you know, in another is Jungle Brothers recording and.
Yeah, they chose Calliope Studios for their primary studios. It was renowned to promote artistic freedom. So Jungle Brothers, Queen Latifah, Prince Paul, De La Soul, you know, we're all recording new music in separate rooms.
It was cool to hear. I read about Q-Tip. He was talking about, you know, like, obviously there's no internet. There's no smartphones. He says, like, also there's, like, there's no TVs there. The only thing to do when you're there is to work on making music and just like having that ability just to focus on the task at hand. Man, I can't even imagine having that ability to focus on a task at hand in 2022, you know.
Just leave your phone at home, go to the studio.
I'm always at home. I don't leave my home.
Leave your home at phone.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's just, it's bonkers how different this album is, you know, but by the same token, it's another, you know, railroad piece in the track that's been laid before it. And it's laying it for, you know, for the good or for the bad, for what comes forward from here. I mean, like,
what's bad?
Well, it depends on how you feel about like PM Dawn.
Okay.
I for one, like to set adrift on Memory Bliss, but you know, not everybody does.
Okay.
You know, and, but yeah, exactly. Like, what's bad. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think there's anything, you know, bad about alternative rap. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, Lupe Fiasco, the current sort of, I would say, you know, bigger positioned parties, Kid Cudi, I don't know, like
Bus Driver.
Yeah.
I saw Q-Tip in an interview mention a lot of those, J. Cole, like a lot of those quote unquote alternative rappers and yeah, it makes sense. You know,
Lupe still doing stuff.
I haven't heard anything lately. I don't know what the current. I keep my ear to the street as much as I can, but you know,
the streets.
You know,
John, the streets need you.
those first two records, though, those were fantastic. I was really into those.
Yeah,
and that's the thing is, you know, the figures, they come and they go. You know,
so you know, I am admittedly no classic hip hop scholar. But when I was listening to People's Instinctive Travels at the Paths of Rhythm, I was getting some Sex Packets vibes from the other, from across the coast, right? From across the country, you know, the same amount of message plus humor, like same kind of like laid back delivery. But they're obviously not affiliated because they're separated by an entire country. Did the albums come out with enough space in between them for one to be influenced by another, or is this just happening simultaneously?
I think it's just happening simultaneously. I mean, Beastie Boys were doing jokey raps, you know.
Yeah, I think
from New York.
I think, you know, Q-Tip and Fife, you know, had sort of had this building, you know, throughout their youth a little bit, and then finally laid it down on this Jive, you know, produced album, but. Yeah, I don't think there's any cross collaboration across the coasts. And like I said, you know, it is things that have been laid before it, but they're not the same. Like Sex Packets, you know, definitely has elements of Afrocentrism, definitely is jokey, but it's much more sort of relatable hypersexualism, you know, like it's out there. Like they're talking about fucking, you know, like, and not that, you know, Tribe isn't on this album, but you know, they're not making it as explicit.
Sure.
Except when it comes to
Pubic Enemy.
Pubic Enemy.
Right. Yeah. But it's more from a public service standpoint than like, you know, 3 days coming and 3 more going. We get back and there was no slack. 490 Madison, we're here, Shy. He said, all right, ship, see you tomorrow. Thinking about the past week, the last week. Hands go in my pocket, I can't speak. Hop in the car and torpedo to the shack. The Shaheed, we gotta go back. When he said why, I said we gotta go. Cause I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Yeah, I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. What do you guys think of I left my wallet in El Segundo?
I just wanna fly. Oh, baby, is all I hear.
Oh,
that
no.
Fucking sample,
oh,
man.
That sample.
That
okay.
Fucking sample.
Wow, I didn't even put that, associate that.
Right, so, in my so thank fly.
You. Thank you for giving that gift to me.
Is that the same sample?
Yeah.
The same guitar. The oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a Spotify playlist that some genius put together that's like Tribe samples, and it's just just, you know, all the tracks that they sampled, you know, starting from this album going forward. So you can sort of see where some of this laid out. It's pretty helpful, but it didn't go far enough to go to where they sampled it next, which was. God,
I don't even remember the name of the band.
Sugar something? No. Sugar Ray.
Unbendable statues crumble for me.
Oh, is that Sugar Ray?
Yeah, that is Sugar Ray.
Mark McGrath?
I love
they're not sampling Sugar Ray. Yeah. Both bands are utilizing the same sample.
Yes, and you can see how it can be used for good or evil.
So. There you go.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how bad could it get?
There you go.
There it goes.
Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I did.
I love it. I love this
song. The
song
is good.
I love this song.
It's so it. When I read someone say it reads like a National Lampoon's like vacation story, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like whatever. I got the enchiladas and I ate them. Shaggy had the fruit punch. Like just very simple layout, the basics. But yeah,
I think that's really did leave his wallet in El Segundo.
I'm
man.
Positive that's a true story.
I think the idea for that was actually Jarobi White's, who was only on this album and then left to go to culinary school. And he's only on a few things.
I can just imagine them though, like driving back and being like, I left my wallet in El Segundo. Like, I'm just imagining them being like, I gotta get it back. Gotta get back. And he's just like driving the car back to where he thinks he left it.
I think he's probably just on the fucking subway, man.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, yeah.
So I was wondering, El Segundo, as we all know, is a beach neighborhood in Los Angeles County. But the lyrics of I left my wallet in El Segundo almost make it sound like it's in Mexico. He's talking about like sombreros.
Yeah.
Wondering if 19-year-old Q-Tip was up to date on his geography.
West, south, you know, East LA is Mexico.
Like El Segundo, it sounds like it could be a Mexican town, you know.
Could be a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Rob's right. It could have been like
kind of what I thought it was. He just I think that he left his wallet at the Mexican restaurant.
They do talk about driving for 3 days.
That's true.
But the reality behind the story could have been it was at the El Segundo restaurant for sure. Yeah, I just love the way that Fife and Q-Tip flow. Just like their delivery, the lyricism. It's just solid. And then it's not this album, but it's the next one.
Yeah.
You know, where you get scenario where leaders of the new school are on there and everybody comes in and does their piece. And it's just like Fife and Q-Tip really get that sort of that flow going where they get to pop back in and forth. You know, and that's I think that's where they excel above a lot of other rappers, is that the way they can pop in and out of a track with each other that seamlessly with other people doing their, you know, their little pieces.
Yeah, and this doesn't feel like 65 minutes.
I was going to say, it flows so nice.
Yeah, it's It is a well-constructed hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah,
for damn sure.
It does feel like you're kind of at a party.
Yeah, you know, a bit.
Like it's meant to be. I think it's probably meant to be put on, or, you know, feels like it's meant to be put on at a party. You know, you've got your intros, your outros, and then at the end of the track, it just kind of runs out for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, it's solid.
They know how to loop it. Right?
Yeah.
So they know other people are probably going to loop it. If I had to guess.
Yeah. Leave them the opportunity to mix it in.
Oh, leave them the opportunity. Here you go.
So we've been working on this project for 5 years this month that we started working on this.
What year is it?
It's 2023, Rob.
This week was my first listen of People's Instinctive Travels. But how often in this podcast have I talked about whether or not an album moves my butt? And like being that like the criteria for whether or not I'm going to give something a positive is that I'm like, oh man, this album moves my butt. Like I've got to go on the right one. It made me feel so happy that track 10 on this album is Rhythm, devoted to the art of moving butts. I was like, yes, yes, Tribe gets it. Move my butt.
It's nice to have them explicitly swear the oath.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am devoted to moving that butt.
Fulfill the pact, Tribe.
It is an art.
Which it makes it weird that review said it was such an undanceable rap album because my butt's moving.
Yeah. I don't understand that either. I thought that was funny.
What track is this one?
We need an apple bomb.
Oh yeah, the opening, the TLC stole that for Don't Go Chasing Waterfall.
Well, and then Fuji stole it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, the sampled.
Sitar.
Sample.
Yeah, sampled the sitar. Yeah.
Nice. Gotta put me on.
It was bugging me where I knew that sample from, but it's those two tracks. Thank you, friends.
Yeah.
Well, and the sitar is originally from the Beatles, I think.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure which.
Norwegian Wood, maybe.
Is that
maybe.
George?
Yeah.
That's my best Beatles impression.
Is that George?
George.
Yeah, George loved it.
Benita Applebaum contains samples from Daylight, as performed by RAMP, an American soul jazz band. Also Memory Band, performed by the Rotary Connection, and Soul Virgo, as performed by Cannonball Adderley. So no Beatles on Benita Applebaum.
Huh. Maybe it's the RAMP.
What does everybody think? Positive on this one?
Duh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
1,000 times duh.
Yeah. Totally good. Yeah. I mean, even though we're going to get another Tribe Called Quest, I'm super excited.
We get
low end. Okay, good. Yeah.
We'll be able to talk about that too.
Yeah.
Do we just get that one or do we also get Midnight Marauders?
Only two.
Because Midnight's also, some people say Midnight Marauders is the magnum opus, but.
I kind of get, every time there's a debut album this strong.
Yeah.
This is a very, very strong debut.
You have to have the album that Source gives the first 5 mics to. You have to.
Totally.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's the only reason this is here. I mean, it's also an amazing album.
And let's just say it's again, going to crush the sophomore slump because the next album is The Low End Theory. Yeah,
my personal favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what was that last one? The Thank You All, We've Got It From Here. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, like I think their that's lap? Right. The fourth.
Yeah. Man, that one's good too. That one is good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just it's kind of like they don't make bad music.
Yeah.
It's like they don't make bad music.
No wonder.
Amazing. The usual. All right. Next time we'll be talking about Sonic Youth. Goo.
Goo.
Thanks, y'all. Devoted to the arts of moving butts, the rhythm's happening and it's moving up. The chopper's been on hold for much too long. Don't fear the rhythm because it's strong. On the corners, brothers bop their heads from the high tops till the naughty dreads. I'm a Nubian, y'all. Look what we did. Took the crust away from the third eyelid. Now it's kinda open, lost to see the sight. Rhythms of the tribe, but just passed outright. Night after night, day after day, questing for the rhythms of the native tongue way. Rhythm is the key as we open up the door. Things a B-boy has never seen before. Polyrhythmatic with a big fat boom. You have an orgasm as you start to consume the ghetto beat.